Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. In this passage, the Apostle Paul, he describes his ministry to the Gentiles, and he shares his ambition for the work of missions. I'd remind you that this is the Word of God. Please give careful attention as I read it to you this morning. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. This is the Word of the Lord. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, speak this morning to your people. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us hearts to receive your word with faith and love, and give us hands and feet that are ready to take your truth and apply it in our lives. May you be with us now and help us as we study your word together. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Out of sight, out of mind. Have you ever heard that idiom before? It's a way of saying that if we don't see someone or something for an extended period of time, we stop thinking about that person or thing. Maybe you had some good friends from high school or college, but then you or maybe they moved to a different place. And over time, as you didn't see your old friends on a regular basis, you started to think less about them. Your communication with them slowly dwindled. And now today, you don't really think about them at all. The only time you think about them is when you flip through your old high school yearbooks. I wonder if you've ever had that experience before. As missionaries who are living overseas in Cambodia, we've experienced the reality of this idiom in a number of different ways. There are many things that have become out of sight, out of mind for us. For example, American politics has been out of sight, out of mind for us. Driving on snowy and icy roads during the winter has been out of sight, out of mind. And I believe most, if not all people, experience the reality of this idiom. And I also believe one thing that can become out of sight, out of mind for Christians in America is global missions. And I don't believe it's usually intentional. It's usually because we're busy doing other important things. We're taking care of our families. We're ministering in our own local communities. We're serving in our church. And these are all very good things to do. I'm a strong advocate for prioritizing the local spheres that God has placed each of us in, our homes and our workplaces, our cities and in our country. These are the places where we spend the most time, and it is wise to devote much attention to those places. But I don't think we should stop there, because the Bible doesn't stop there. Yes, we do need to seek the welfare of the local communities we are in. But Jesus also calls us to make disciples of all the nations and to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And this doesn't mean that God calls all Christians to pack up their bags and move overseas. Certainly not. But I do believe God wants us to lift up our eyes, to look beyond our local communities and be involved in his worldwide gospel mission. And in our passage this morning in Romans 15, we see this is precisely what the Apostle Paul did. He had a holy ambition for the work of missions, and he committed his life to that work. And through this passage, the Lord is also calling upon you to cultivate an ambition for and commitment to the work of global missions. And in order to help us understand this better, what I'd like to do this morning is consider three responsibilities which I believe spring out of this text, which will hopefully help you to cultivate an ambition for and commitment to the work of global missions. And the first responsibility this morning is this: you need to remember the priority of global missions to the unreached places of the earth. And to better understand this point, I think it's helpful to consider the book of Romans as a whole. Many of you may be somewhat familiar with the book of Romans. Many theologians regard it as one of the greatest books in the Bible. It's packed with wonderful theological truths about the gospel, about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And there's one interesting fact about Paul's relationship with the church in Rome. And that is, when Paul wrote the letter to the church in Rome, he had not yet visited this church in person. We know the Apostle Paul, he wrote many different letters to different churches. And many of those churches he had visited in person. In fact, he helped to plant some of those churches. But as for the church in Rome, Paul had not yet visited this church in person. And we learn this truth as early as Romans chapter 1, in verses 8 through 15. At the very beginning of the letter, Paul expresses this desire to see the Romans and visit them. In Romans 1, verse 10, Paul says he has been praying that he may be able to succeed in coming to the Romans. But that hasn't happened yet. Now, in chapter 1, Paul doesn't give us a lot of details about why he hasn't been able to visit them yet. But when you fast forward to Romans 15, Paul gives us some more information about why he hasn't visited this church yet in person. Look at Romans 15, verses 19 through 22. Starting in the middle of verse 19, Paul says, "From Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." And then notice especially verse 22. Paul says, "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you." So why has Paul been hindered from coming to the Romans? According to verse 20, it's because Paul has made it to his ambition to preach the gospel in new and unreached places. As we see in verse 23, Paul, he has longed to see the Romans for years. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to encourage them and preach the gospel to them. But Paul had this overriding ambition, this one priority that took precedence over everything else, and it was to take the gospel to new and unreached places. That was Paul's ministry focus. That is why Paul says in verse 19, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. The geographical area that Paul refers to in verse 19, Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, it's a very large geographical area with many different cities. So what does Paul mean when he says he has fulfilled the ministry of the gospel in these places? Does that mean there's no more room for any gospel work in these areas? I don't think so. I don't think Paul means that everyone there is a believer and there's no more room for work there at all. In fact, we know that Paul left his disciple Timothy, he left him in Ephesus, he left Titus in Crete in order to do more work in those places. So in verse 19, I think what Paul is trying to say is part of the missionary task is taking the gospel to new and unreached places where Christ is not yet known. And that was Paul's priority, this pioneer gospel work in new places. And it is this priority which explains why Paul has not yet visited the church in Rome. And this also explains why Paul intends to only have a brief visit when he visits the Romans. If you look at verse 24, Paul talks about his plans to visit the Romans in the near future. But notice what Paul says in verse 24. He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. So do you see what Paul is saying? He's saying, I am planning to visit you, but don't get your hopes up because it's not going to be a long visit. I am just making a quick pit stop. I'm just going to be passing by as I travel to my final destination, which is in Spain. But why? Why doesn't Paul want to spend a longer time with the Romans? He's longed to see them for years. It's because of this overriding ambition, this priority that Paul had to take the gospel to new and unreached places, this passion for missions. And Paul is hoping that the Romans will help him to do this. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But the point right now is for you to see this overriding priority, this ambition that Paul had to take the gospel to places where Jesus had not yet been named. And brothers and sisters, I believe it's very important for us in the church today to remember the priority of the Apostle Paul that we see in this passage, the priority of global missions. And I believe the Apostle Paul's priority, it ought to have an impact upon us and in our churches, in the ministries that we support today, because I want to remind you that across the world today, there are still many places and groups of people that have not yet been reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. They don't have access to the gospel like we do here in America. According to missiologists, a country or a group of people, it is considered unreached when less than 2% of the population are evangelical Christians. So in Cambodia, for example, we're working with Cambodian people, and the estimates are that 1% or maybe even less than 1% of Cambodians identify as evangelical Christians. In Cambodia, the major cities like Phnom Penh are growing very quickly, but most Cambodians are still living in rural villages across the country. And you can drive through village after village after village where there are no churches. Some villages where there are no Christians, where some Cambodians may have never even heard the gospel or heard of the person of Jesus before. Now, this might be a little hard for us as Americans to get our minds around, because although we may be living in a post-Christian nation, the influences of Christianity upon our country are still very evident. It doesn't matter what state you travel to or what city or town you visit, you're probably going to find some church there and some Christians who are living there. But it's not like that in some places around the world. It's not like that in Cambodia or in Bangladesh or in Iraq. The estimates are there are still approximately 2 to 3 billion people who have never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have very limited or no access to the gospel, to churches, and even to other Christians. And if there is not intentional gospel ministry started in these places, some of them may go their whole lives without ever hearing about Jesus. And so I want to ask a question. Don't you think that reality ought to have an influence and an impact us today and the ministries that we support, don't you think we should evaluate how we use our time and money and resources to help with the spread of the gospel in these places? And again, I really don't want you to misunderstand me here. I am a big advocate for focusing and prioritizing the local spheres that God has placed each of us in. These are the places where we spend the most time, and we should not neglect these spheres. We need to support church planting and evangelism in our own local communities, in our own states, and in our own country. Right? We need more Reformed churches that are preaching the true gospel here in Pennsylvania. Absolutely. But we must remember that we must also support the work of global missions. We must not allow these important local ministries to crowd out or displace the importance of global missions to the ends of the earth. But it can be easy for that to happen. Out of sight, out of mind, right? We don't see all of these unreached peoples every day. We don't see the lack of churches or seminaries or Christians in these places. And so it can be easy for us to forget about the great needs that are overseas. And so this morning, I just want to encourage and challenge you to evaluate your own life and your own priorities for a bit. You may need to reorient your priorities. I don't know. And again, I'm not saying to stop caring about your local church or the local ministries you're involved in. You don't have to choose between overseas ministry or local ministry. It should be a both and type of situation. How can I support the spread of the gospel overseas while also being committed to my own local communities? Okay, how can I be more intentional and thoughtful about the work of global missions? How can I help my children and my grandchildren to see the importance of this type of work? And maybe you are wondering, okay, where is the best place to start? How can I remember this priority for missions and prevent it from becoming out of sight, out of mind? And my suggestion to you, the best place to start would be to spend much time in God's word. Notice in verse 21 how the Apostle Paul, he grounds his ministry to these unreached places in the word of God. He quotes from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15, as the foundation for his ministry. He's connecting his ministry to God's word. And Isaiah 52 is one of many different passages that the Apostle Paul could have quoted from. I'd encourage you to read through your Bible and highlight, underline all of the passages that are connected to the work of missions, to God's universal reign over the nations, or the missionary role of God's people. And when you do so, you will quickly discover the Bible is a missionary book from beginning to end. Even the Old Testament is brimming, overflowing with passages that are connected to the work of missions. And I believe that the more time you spend reading and meditating on God's word, the more you will see God's heart for the nations, and the more you will grow in your desire to see God's word taken to the ends of the earth. Okay. Now, as I've shared about this biblical priority for missions, and how many people have never heard the gospel of Jesus, maybe you've been thinking, this is a big task. Right? There's billions of people who've never even heard the gospel of Jesus. They have limited access to the gospel. There's so much work for the church to do. How will we ever accomplish this work and bring the gospel to these places? And that's a very fair question to ask, and that's why we need to remember and recognize that global missions, it's not primarily the work of men, but it is the work of God. And this brings me to the second responsibility this morning that we have as believers. And it is this: secondly, you need to rely upon God alone for the accomplishment of global missions. Because the work of global missions, it cannot be accomplished by men in their own strength, but only through the power of God. And we can see that in our passage from verses 16 through 19. If you look at verse 16 with me, Paul, he begins describing his ministry to the Gentiles. And in verse 17, Paul actually speaks about his own work for God. Paul says, I'm proud of my work for God. And there's a very real and true sense in which Paul is at work, right? Paul is the one traveling to new places. Paul is preaching the gospel. He is planting churches, doing miracles, and so on. But I want you to notice next what Paul says in verses 18 and 19, because it is very important for us as we think about the work of missions. Paul says, beginning in verse 18, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." See, here in these verses, Paul adds a crucial qualification to his ministry and his work. Who is the real one doing the work of bringing the Gentiles to obedience? It is Christ himself who is accomplishing this through the Apostle Paul, right? Verse 18, "I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." Okay, in other words, the Apostle Paul, he is simply an instrument or means through which God himself is working. Jesus is the one ministering to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. And notice also, Paul, he emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying the offering of the Gentiles. In verses 18 and 19, the Gentiles are brought to obedience by the power of the Spirit of God. So I want you to understand, when Paul thinks about his own ministry, he realizes the main agent, the main actor, it's not himself. It is God. God is the one at work, and he is simply the channel, the vehicle through which God is working. And I believe that this reality ought to change the way we think and we talk about missions. How often we can talk about supporting this ministry or that ministry, this missionary or that church planter. And I'm not saying we can never talk like that, but we must remember who the primary agent in missions is. It is not the missionary. It is God. It is Jesus Christ. He is the King and Lord of the church. He is the true missionary and the true church planter who is building his church. And we are simply servants of God, ministers of God, as the Apostle Paul speaks about himself in this passage. I was at a church a number of weeks ago in South Dakota, and they were very kind. They were describing missions and the work that we were doing, and they were like, "When we think of missionaries, we kind of think of them like superheroes. You guys are the superheroes who go to these difficult places to preach the gospel." But I took the time to remind them that my wife and I, we're not superheroes. We're just ordinary people, ordinary Christians, working in a foreign land, and the true superhero is not us, but Jesus Christ. He is the true superhero who is doing the work of missions and building his church in these places. And the Apostle Paul, he realized this. He realized when he went to these different places, something much greater was happening than just some frail and weak man preaching the gospel. Christ was at work in and through him. And this brings a whole new light to the idea of supporting missions. Right? You're not just giving to missionary Bob or missionary Alice or missionary Brennan. You're giving to and supporting the work of Christ, what God is doing in and around the world. So when I have the privilege to talk to others about Cambodia, I love to talk about the work that God is doing in Cambodia. It's not just me. It's not just Becca and our teammates or our ministries. It is true that we have ministries in Cambodia. We are involved there doing work. But there is something much greater than just me or Becca doing ministry among the Cambodian people. If we were the only ones at work, nothing would ever happen, right? Because we don't have the power to open up blind eyes. We don't have the power to change hearts and bring people out of spiritual death into spiritual life. Only God can do those things. And so the secret to the advancement and the accomplishment of global missions is not just muster up more of your own strength. Oh, just give more money. Just send more missionaries. Just preach the gospel more often. No. What is most necessary is for us to rely and trust in God alone and his omnipotent power, we must believe that God is at work around the world to build his church and bring people to faith in Jesus. And remember that Jesus died in order to make this happen. In Revelation 5, right, the 24 elders, they sing a song and they proclaim, "By your blood, you ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation." And if Jesus died, if he laid down his life for every people and nation, certainly we can have hope that he will continue to do the work of bringing these people to faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. And so this ought to be an encouragement to us to persevere in the work that we are doing, because there are times when we will feel discouraged, when we don't see a lot of fruit from the ministries that we are praying for or supporting or even doing ourselves. But we trust God. We remember that God is at work. This is his mission, and he has made a promise to build his church. And so we rely upon him to accomplish that work in his timing. Okay. Now, as we think about this missionary task and Paul's understanding that God was working through him, it's also it's important to remember Paul not only had the Spirit of God working in and through him, he also had brothers and sisters in Christ in the church who were partnering with him. And that brings me to the third responsibility that we have as believers. And that responsibility is this. Third, you need to renew your participation in the work of global missions. Earlier, we looked at verses 23 and 24, where Paul tells the Romans he's planning to visit them in the near future. But he says he's only going to make a brief visit. He's only going to pass through Rome because he intends to move on to Spain. But I want you to notice something significant about what Paul says in verse 24 as he tells the Romans about his plan. So look at verse 24 again with me. Paul says, "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while." Notice Paul is hoping that he will be helped on his journey by the church in Rome. The verb that Paul uses in verse 24, it's a verb, it is often connected to missionary support in the New Testament. Paul is hoping the church in Rome will support him, specifically in regards to his future ministry in Spain. We see this again in verse 28, where Paul says, "When I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you." Okay. Now, we know that Paul's original sending church was in Antioch, but Antioch and Spain are pretty far apart. And so perhaps Paul is hoping the church in Rome will function like his new sending base as he does ministry in Spain. And actually, many Bible scholars believe this is one of the reasons that Paul wrote the book of Romans. The book of Romans functions sort of like a missionary support letter. Right? In chapter 1, Paul introduces himself. He's an apostle called to the Romans to be an apostle to preach the gospel to the nations. And then throughout the letter, Paul has unpacked the gospel, what he believes about Jesus, the implications of the gospel. And now here in chapter 15, near the end of the letter, Paul is asking for the believers in Rome to join with him, to partner with him in his future ministry to Spain. He is saying, I hope you will help me as I go to Spain. I want you to be my sending base and partner with me in this work. Now, what kind of help do you think Paul wanted from the church in Rome? He doesn't specify here in this verse. My guess is Paul is probably thinking about some type of financial support for his future ministry, but there may have been a number of other needs that Paul was thinking about as well. Maybe he needed someone to help tune up and repair the boat he had been traveling on. Maybe he needed some new clothes. Maybe he needed a translator because some scholars believe the people in Spain spoke Latin at this time. Maybe he just wanted some encouragement. Okay. We don't know for sure, but it's clear Paul is hoping this church will participate with him, join with him in his future ministry. And notice in verse 30, there is one type of support that Paul specifically asks for. What does Paul ask for from the church in Rome? In verse 30, he He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul asks the church in Rome to pray for him. And he uses very strong language in this verse. Some translations use the word urge or beg. Paul's begging the church in Rome to pray for him. He knows he can't do this ministry by himself in his own strength. He needs the prayers of God's people. And that is why the Apostle Paul, when you read through the letters that he wrote so often, he's asking for the churches to pray for him. And do you see the partnership in this verse? Paul wants them to strive together with him in their prayers to God on his behalf. They can partner with Paul through prayer. And I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, this morning that you don't have to buy a plane ticket and move overseas in order to participate in the work of global missions. You can do so right here and right now. You can be gospel partners that help others go on their journeys to different places around the world, just like Paul was hoping the Romans would do for him. There was a missionary, well-known missionary, in the late 1700s, goes by the name of William Carey. Some refer to him as the father of modern missions. And when Carey was preparing to go to India, he wrote a letter to his friend Andrew Fuller. And there's one thing he said in that letter, which is this. He says, I will go down into the pit if you will hold the rope for me. And I really love that picture of missions. In missions, there are some who go down into the pit, and then there are others who hold the rope for those who go down. And so I want you to think, what will you do? How can you hold the rope for those who are going down into the pit? That there are so many ways, whether through prayers or encouragement or financial support and care for missionaries. I want to encourage you to think through ways you can use the gifts and talents that God has given you to participate and be involved in the work of missions. Okay, the work of missions is something the church must do together. Some send and some go, but everyone ought to be involved in God's mission to the ends of the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, what a really great snapshot we have here in this passage of the work of missions. The Apostle Paul, he's filled with this holy ambition to take the gospel to new and unreached places, but he doesn't do this work by himself. He goes with the Spirit of God working in and through him, and he also goes out with the partnership, the support, and prayers of the church. And as we wrap up today, I just want to remind you about the motive behind Paul's ministry. Have you ever wondered what motivated, what constrained the Apostle Paul to do this difficult work of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth? Why was Paul so filled with a holy ambition for this? And the answer is very simple. It is the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. It was the loving grace and mercy that God had demonstrated to the Apostle Paul that drove him out to the ends of the earth with the gospel. And it ought to be the same for us. What ought to motivate us to give our time and money and resources in our own lives to proclaim the name of Jesus around the world? It is the gospel. The love that God has shown us in Christ ought to compel us to go forth to make disciples of all the nations. And by God's grace, may he help us to do so. I want to end by just leading us in a few moments of silent and responsive prayer to give you the opportunity to take the truths from this passage and apply them to your own heart. So first, would you just take a moment to pray silently that God would help you to remember the priority of global missions and that God might prevent global missions from becoming out of sight, out of mind, but rather as you meditate on God's love and what Jesus has done for you, that it would fill you with a passion for the spread of the gospel. Just take a moment and pray silently about that. Secondly, would you take a moment to pray silently that God might strengthen your faith and trust in him? As you remember that God is the main agent at work around the world. Ask that God would increase your dependence upon him for the accomplishment of missions. Take a moment and pray silently about that. And then finally, would you take a moment to pray that God would help you to see different ways that you can use the gifts that he has given you to help participate in the work of missions. Pray that you would be active and engaged in supporting the work of missions around the world, whether that means going or sending, holding the rope for those who go. Take a moment and pray about that. Father in heaven, we thank you that you hear your children when they pray to you. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is interceding for us now as our great high priest. Would you hear all of our silent prayers now and answer them according to your will in Christ Jesus? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.